neighbor had a tree on his house, and the tree happened to be ours. So Brother Cliff's going to come and fix that for us this afternoon. So the title of our message this morning is All Things Are Possible. Now, you know, everyone needs something. We need something to lean, to depend on, or as the old saying goes, something just to hang our hat on. Now, if you're here this morning and saved, we all know 100% that we can depend on the promise from Jesus Christ of eternal life. We're all looking forward to the day we'll be with our Lord and Saviors. Those Christians that have gone before us already know the joy of being there. You see, when they passed away from this earth, there were some different emotions going on all at the same time. There was the emotion of sadness for those of us that were left behind in a time of mourning. But for the person that died, it was extreme joy as they were welcomed. And the Lord said, welcomed by the Lord and Savior into their eternal mansion. And thirdly, God is very happy. Psalm 116:15 says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So, you know, we're sad, but God's happy. God's happy. What a joyous time it must be for them to look into the eyes of Christ and walk down that street of gold with all their cares vanquished. Now, all these things, folks, we have to look forward to. But for right now, we have to tough it out in our pilgrimage on earth and the struggles with the temptations of this world that confront us daily. Today, or this morning, our text is going to be Philippians 4:10-19. And again, this is God trying to encourage you and I to the fact that Philippians 4:10-19, he wants us to be happy in our situation, content with such things as you have. And that's what God is looking for. In Philippians 4, beginning in verse 10, it says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care for me has flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak of respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere in all things I am instructed to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving or receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessities. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire the fruit that may abound to your account. Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank you for the privilege of being here this morning, Lord. We pray for Brother Art as he is in the rest home. And we pray for Brother Darrell, Lord, who's still in the hospital, Lord. We just pray that you would be with them today, Lord. We know you can just reach down and touch them and all would be well. And Lord, we just pray as the great physician that you would look after these two gentlemen this morning. And I pray for those that could not be here this morning. Some sick, some are traveling. And if there's one here this morning that does not know Jesus as their personal Savior, and know without a shadow of a doubt that if they were to die right now, they'd go to heaven. I pray that they would not leave this service this morning without knowing. I pray for our country and its leaders. Now I ask you, dear God, give me the power of the Holy Spirit. Hide me behind the cross, and I give you the glory and the honor in Jesus' precious name for his sake. Amen. Now, as Christians, and as you and I mature as Christians, we will learn that the Apostle Paul was a man God used to teach every Christian, or at least those that will listen, that we can know the joy of trusting God for absolutely everything. Secondly, we're told we should be satisfied in whatever condition we're in. Whatever condition God places us in, knowing that everything, no matter how bad it may seem at the time, in the end, God's going to make it all work out. Look with me, if you will, 2 Corinthians 4. We're going to begin in verse 15. 2 Corinthians 4. And I want you to take note of the first few words in this verse 15. Now, this is God speaking to you. It says, "For all things are for your sake." So no matter what's going on in your life today, whether it be good in your eyes or bad in your eyes, God is doing it for your sake. There's some reason for it. "That the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." You see, as hard as it is for us to keep our eyes on the eternal things rather than the earthly things, it's tough in today's world. But yet we find Paul doing this, and it was just as hard in his day. We find Paul following the leading of the Holy Spirit. We talked about being filled with the Holy Spirit last week and how we're not going to get any more Holy Spirit than we have right now. When you got saved, you got the whole complete package. So being filled with the Holy Spirit means we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, allows the Holy Spirit to take a hold of our heart and lead us in the ways of God. And God wants us to be convinced that through Him, not through ourselves, not through a priest, not through some preacher, not even through Brother Page. Absolutely nothing is out of our reach. Our text this morning deals with this kind of dependency and trust that we've been talking about. The author of this passage, of course, was the Apostle Paul, a man that knew some good times, but also suffered some terrible times in his life. And through it all, Paul was content with his circumstances. I can't imagine being content, being in an ocean for 3 days. Can't imagine being content, being beaten and being stoned. But never once do you see Paul show any regret or have a desire to quit. You know, we have Christians today that as soon as somebody said something a little sideways, they're gone. They're gone. But you see, Paul never did this. And things like prestige and money, many of us look at as the important thing of life, but it's not really the important thing of life. Paul, after his conversion, understood what had the most value of anything, and it was not money. As a matter of fact, he considered money worldly stuff, and as a total waste of time, because his trust was in Christ. Look with me, if you will, to Philippians 4:8. Now, as we go down through this this passage here, you're going to see what he compares money to. And it's something that, if we compare it to that, we wouldn't be so interested in it either. But it says, "Yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." Now you see here, he was not looking back at what had been taken from him. You see, in his earthly life, he had all the money he needed, a great amount of prestige. But after his rebirth on the road to Damascus, he found that all things were worthless compared to the eternal things of Christ. says, yet doubtless I count all things but lost. All of Paul's carnal and worldly desires, he was able to put away. Now, he didn't say it was easy. He did not say it was easy at all. And he says, there's sometimes I want something and I don't, and I have to put it out of my mind. And look at Philippians 3:8. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things. I think we'd all be better off if we could get this type of mindset. After all, the things of this earth are just going to be burned up in the judgment. Going to be burned up in the fire of judgment. 2 Corinthians 3:13 through 15. And when that day of judgment comes, and even if we're here saved today, you and I got a judgment to stand. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We're going to give an account for what our lives have been. We're going to give an account for how much we allowed the Spirit to leave our life, lead our life. We are going to give an account for every idle word that we spoke. But look at 1 Corinthians 3:13-15. And it says here in 1 Corinthians 3:13, every man's work shall be made manifest. Now, the manifestation has a meaning of made very clear. It's brought out. It says, for every man's work shall be made manifest, made known. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Now, if any man's work abide, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. But now here's a promise. But he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. So as we begin, and this is where the carnal Christian comes in. But I want you to go back to verse 15 real quick. Or I mean 14. If his work abides, he shall receive a reward. Now let's say you're a carnal Christian. Brother Page. He goes to heaven, he gets his reward. Now he's in heaven with a reward, and you're in heaven without a reward. Now what that going to mean, I know it's going to, he's going to have a crown to throw at the feet of Jesus. But I would rather go into heaven with a reward in my hand than I would just go. But anyhow, as we begin our text, Paul now is a missionary. And he has been sent to the Gentiles by Jesus Christ himself. That makes Paul an apostle. He was given his direct orders from the mouth of Jesus Christ himself. That's the reason there's churches today, and I'm not going to mention it, but they believe they have apostles. I had a young man came to our church when I was pastoring Ashland Baptist Temple. And he was a good kid, he just wasn't. You know, the sidewalk didn't go all the way to the front door. But anyhow, he read his Bible and read his Bible and read his Bible. I don't know how many certificates I gave him for reading through his Bible. And, I don't know, him and his grandfather had some problems, so he left the church. And he went to the Mormon church. And he came back to me, 3 months later. He says, hey. He says, I couldn't do anything here, but I'm already an apostle. He says, and I've only got just a few more months until I'll be a priest. I didn't question. I didn't even want to know how all this took place. But you see, the apostleship only can come as if Jesus Christ was standing there and talking to him like they did the Apostle Paul. But anyhow, let's get away from that. But like our missionaries today, God has been using Christians and local churches to support Paul's every need. Now, if you understand here that these folks these folks at Philippi were supporting him, even at Thessalonica. But there was a time when they were hurting, but it says they were careful. In other words, they cared that they couldn't do it, but now it's back at it again. But they're supporting him again. As a matter of fact, it's where the church gets its philosophy of supporting missionaries, from the church at Philippi, through offering to Christians in the local churches on an individual basis. Now, the one church I went to and her pastor in Crestline, they did not have missionary offerings. They just took 10%. No, they just took the money they need to pay the missionaries out of the general fund. You know, nobody ever separated the money. So whether the church was supporting the missionaries or whether we were using God's money to support the missionaries, and I'm one that if we have 30 missionaries and we only have money for 10 out of the missionary offering, then it's going to come out of the general fund. They will be paid until I get nothing. We can't make the payments. Everything's going to be paid to the missionary just as long as it's possible. But anyhow, let's get off of that. Now, I keep going down these rabbit trails this morning. I don't know what it is. But anyhow, I've known a few missionaries that had to come off the field because they lost their support. I know a church right now, and I pastored it for several years. We had, I don't know, you're going to say, what, close to 30 missionaries, wouldn't you say, honey? Close to 30 missionaries. And I think our missionary budget was somewhere between $1,300 and $1,500 a month. Never missed a payment. Never took anything out of the general fund. I understand today, 3 or 4 years later, they only pay the missionaries the money that they take in out of the mission fund. They support no American missionaries or no United States missionaries. I think they support a brother, but nobody else. And the people overseas, if they take in $100, they divide 100 into how many missionaries they got left, and I know they dropped a bunch of them. But what they don't understand when it comes to missionaries, and I'm starting down that another rabbit track, but what they don't understand about missionaries, and Brother Folger, one of the greatest old guys that ever lived, he told me when I first started pastoring, he says, "Preacher," he says, "if you ever get into a financial bind, just take on another missionary." Been doing that for 25 years. Start struggling in money a little bit, take on another missionary and God will bless you. But you can't just keep dropping them. You keep dropping them, you've got problems. God's going to walk away. But anyhow, let's get back. Let's get back to our message for this morning. But this is the time you and I live in. You and I live in a time when God has warned us about. In 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. You and I are living in those days today. You can look at the empty seats here this morning. And we can tell we're here. Just talked to a guy this morning. He's going to go to heaven because he hasn't lived too bad a life. I'm going to go see him shortly. We'll see how good a life he's leaving. But anyhow, this is the kind of life we're living today because people really think that's how they just go to heaven because that's where they go when they die. But God has warned us in 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 1, "This I know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemer, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truth-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Man, you just look around today. You can name almost every one of these. They're traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. Now, as you look around churches all over the world today, well, maybe not the rock and rollers, but if you look around a good Bible-preaching church, you're going to find that it's thinning down. It is thinning down. Because the people have become lovers of themselves. They love the game of golf. So I'd rather be out playing golf than I would be in a church. I have a TV show that I love on Sunday morning. I like this preacher on TV. But see, they're lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. And then in verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Now, over the years, I've known folks that come to church and act godly. I mean, you would think that they have never sinned in their life. But yet they never contribute one penny of offering to the work of the Lord. Some have had expensive habits while others eat out two or three times a week if they say, I can't afford to give to God. And you can't tell me they aren't out there because I used to be one. I used to be one. What's God say about that? 2 Timothy 3:2 says, we are lovers of their own selves. And then in verse 4, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. But you see, now as we get back to our text in Philippians 4, 10 through 17, we'll see now the church of Philippians have once again sending money to Paul. And we see Paul writing them a letter, the equivalent of today's missionary prayer letter. Beginning in verse 10, we see Paul begins to thank them for the monetary help and the fact that they were supporting him again. Look at Philippians 4:10. It says, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly. Now at the last, your care for me has flourished again, wherein you are also careful, but lacked opportunity. You see, they wanted to, but they couldn't. As we go on down in this passage, we'll see Paul continuing to praise them for their faithfulness in giving. We're going to skip on down to verses 14 and 15. I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on these, but I did want to look at some things that Paul had to say in these verses. Beginning in verse 14 of Philippians 4. Notwithstanding, ye have done well, that you did communicate with my afflictions. Now you Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. You see, in this verse, Paul's telling them, saying, you took care of me, not only when I was with you, but when I was away. Something no other church did. Now, supporting missionaries adds to our personal fruit, folks. The next verse makes a very important point that still prevails today, as everything else in the Word of God. It says, and that is when your church supports missionaries, those that give are producing fruit. It says, not because I desire a gift, but I desire a fruit. Listen to this closely. I desire a fruit that may abound to your account. Paul's not saying it's going to abound to my account, which it'll abound to his account too. But it's going to abound to everybody's account that gives towards the mission work. As we continue, I want you to pay close attention to what Paul has to say here, because it has a bearing, folks, on each and every one of us. Look at the first part of Philippians 4:11. It says, not that I speak in respect of want. He says, I'm not asking for anything from you. And you'll find a lot of missionaries out there on about half of the support they really need. Some don't have the support they really need. But like Paul says, for I have learned, and this is what some of us need to learn, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul says, I know how to be abased. I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. You see, within this verse we see contentment, a contentment that is way beyond most of our comprehension. Can you imagine being content in everything? Can you imagine never wanting anything? Always being happy with what we have. What could something like this do for one's nervous system? You know, I'm telling you, it could just do wonders for my nervous system. You see, no matter what our situations are, we're not to worry even a little bit. But to have total confidence in the fact that God is able to take care of us. He's able to take care of any problem you and I might have. We have to have confidence that God's in charge of everything that does happen or don't happen, whatever the case may be. Now, there's a tremendous peace we can receive in depending completely on God. When we too, like Paul, can have a peace that cannot even be measured. If we depend on God for everything. Look at Philippians 4, 6 through 7. 6 and 7. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. A very, very well-known passage. But something we need to put in our heart. Be careful for nothing. That means don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving. Now, that's kind of hard when something's gone wrong in our life that we pray with thanksgiving. But that's what we're told to do. By prayer and supplication, okay, we can ask and pray, ask what we want, but be thankful. Let your request be made known unto God. And here we go. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, so keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, Paul suffered more than any of us will ever be able to comprehend. We'll never be able to comprehend what Paul went through. I mean, we can't even come close to comprehending what Christ went through. But Paul went through a lot. He says, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Paul's trust was in Christ. He knew that through Jesus, he could withstand anything, whether it's good or bad. Because he says in verse 12, I know how to be abased. I know how to do without. And I know how to abound. I know how to do it when I've got everything I need. But he says, I'm instructed in all things. Or I'm instructed in all... Where in all things I am instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. Here he's telling us he knows some things. Number one, he knew how to live with nothing. He knew how to live in a humble and degraded state. When you're publicly whipped and stoned, that's pretty degrading. But if you remember in your history book, humiliation, someone was a form of punishment in public stocks. I mean, when I was real small in Lawtonville, I do remember that there was a set of stocks in the Central Park. I don't know that, there was. I don't ever remember anybody being in them. But if you stole something or were causing trouble or any kind of, many places would put you in public stocks. That's a picture that's designed for one to sit down, put his feet in two slots at the bottom, and head at another, bent over. And you just have to sit there and let the people walk by and look at you. Yeah, I don't know whether you remember. Well, everybody here is probably old enough to remember when those kids in China got caned for spray painting.
Yeah.
And the liberals in the United States just went crazy. I said, praise the Lord, hit them again. Hit them again, you know. Bring them over here and let's cane them. And they were defacing property. You look at a train when it goes by. You know. But personally, I applauded them for it. But we're instructed to be content. In Philippians 4:12, everywhere in all things I'm instructed to be full and to be hungry and to abound and to suffer need. This is a lesson, folks, that you and I really, really need to learn. That no matter what happens, we can always depend on our Lord. And if we don't know that by now, we need to get a better handle on how much we do trust Christ for everything. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's all things. That doesn't leave anything out. That means we can live through anything that this world throws at us if we depend on Christ. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you this morning, Lord, for your word. We thank you for allowing us to have